Chairs No Waiting, episode number 236, Disappearing Keys. Two Chairs No Waiting is brought to you each week by the fine folks over at Weaver's Department Store. Drop by over at Weaver's and pick up some of the great Mayberry items you'll find there. Everything from Dillard's CDs to DVD box sets of the entire Andy Griffith Show series. Drop by weaversdepartmentstore.com and pick up something. Two Chairs No Waiting is also brought to you by donations from listeners just like you. The executive producer of Two Chairs No Waiting, number 236, is Jan Newsom. My wonderful wife, Jan. She puts up with me, so she gets to be executive producer fairly often. And folks, I'm Alan Newsom, your host for Two Chairs No Waiting. Thank you so much for joining me again here in Mayberry. And we've got some fun tonight. It's mostly feedback, or pretty much, I guess all of it's pretty much feedback from you guys who either called in or left a message at either twochairsnowaiting.com or sent me an email or something like that. So I want to thank all of you for contributing to make this show possible as well. So thank you. First up tonight, we've got a wonderful little tidbit that a friend of ours who called in, his name's Gary Page, he called in and had something to tell us. So let's listen to it, and then we will talk about it.
Hi, Alan. Gary Page calling from Columbus, Ohio. Certainly appreciate your broadcast. I really do. You know, I was watching a few episodes this morning, Andy's Vacation. Saw a little interesting clip at 8:32 in the first segment, where Andy puts the key on the peg outside the cell door. Very next scene, they got a shot of Barney standing there, and the key is not on the peg. The disappearing key. That's been take two. Listen, I've got this other question that I've been thinking about for a while. I hope it's not a taboo subject. What kind of salaries did they make in the early years of television in 1960 through 65? I know they probably got a big bump in salary when they went to color, but I was just wondering what kind of paycheck they took home. Did they have contracts? Did they pay weekly? I know they got more money if they had a talking part. I think they even got in the credits when they got to sing. They named all the singers in the choir. So if anybody has any information, I'd be curious to know just what kind of money they made. Oftentimes they had other jobs, I'm sure. And I remember hearing Parley Breyer talk about, Bear talk about the conflicts. If you had something else going, it'd be to your benefit. Listen, have a great weekend. Happy Mother's Day to everybody down there. And I hope to see you Monday night. Have a great day, my friend. And remember, may God's richest and may God's best be yours.
Hey, Gary, thank you a lot for calling in. And thank you for wishing everybody a happy Mother's Day. Mother's Day, as I record this episode, was last weekend. And whether it's Mother's Day right now or not, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. We do appreciate all that you do. I mean, you raise kids up to like the Andy Griffith Show. Hey, I thought that was pretty cool. He had Gary had noticed that one scene with Andy and Barney. Now, that episode was when Andy's vacation.
Barney, you have to come down and open and the cell door.
Andy, I mean, was there, and he was taking his vacation, and vacation. Barney and Gomer had locked themselves in the cell.
Somebody had to do it. Well,
and Andy came down to the courthouse. He was there in town anyway, but he came in and unlocked it.
So we yelled out the window at five people, and they just stood there and laughed.
You want to stay out of this, Gomer? You want to just stay out of this?
This is the scene Gary's talking about. So if you watch, Andy had unlocked the jail doors. And Gomer, he goes over and hangs it on the wall.
This is where we keep the keys. On the peg outside the cell door.
Cell door.
Right.
See? If Barney forgets again, I'll remind him.
Right now, when they cut back to Barney, they're going to cut back to Barney as Andy and Gomer walk out. And you can see behind him, the keys are not on the door. So definitely, he caught this, and it was awesome. A great catch by Gary to spot that little tidbit, because certainly the key was no longer behind Barney's head where Andy had just placed it. So there's another little bit of trivia that I had never caught. Now, Gary went on to ask about the salaries for the cast members of the Andy Griffith Show. Now, I went online because I couldn't find this. I think I have been told this before, or I have the answer somewhere myself. about at least what Francis Bouvier made, but I can't find it. So I went online and started searching around on the internet. Now, I can't confirm these numbers. So if you're a fan of the Andy Griffith Show and you know the actual numbers or can give me some things to go with, I would love to hear from you. You can call me at 888-684-8415, or you can email me at floyd@imayberry.com, and you can let us know the answer, and I'll share it with everybody on an upcoming podcast. But here's what I was able to find. There was a question at Wiki Answers. It's wiki.answers.com. And the question was, how much did the cast members of the Andy Griffith Show earn? And somebody had written in, I couldn't confirm this. It says, I could only find the salary for Andy Griffith, which was $84,000 a year in the 60s. More important than his yearly salary were his royalties, which, of course, Andy earned, but the regular actors did not. Of course, I'm adding that, but that's the case. Andy would earn royalties because he was a part owner or the owner of the Andy Griffith Show. So he earned royalties as each time the show ran. Other actors like Don Knotts and others, they only got royalties for the first, I want to say, five reruns. After it had been rerun five times, they got nothing. So now one other bit I could find, because I was looking, kept looking. Same website, though. It's wiki.answers.com. And the question there was, how much money per episode did Ron Howard earn on the Andy Griffith Show while he's playing Opie? And the answer they gave, again, I can't confirm it, was $1,000 an episode. I got to tell you, $1,000 an episode in the 60s was a lot of money, a lot of money. I mean, you could buy a house for $3,000, $3,500 in the early 60s, mid 60s. So you could buy a lot of stuff for $1,000 an episode. And most of the actors, like Ron, was in most every episode in a season. But I can't confirm that those were right. Now, here's what I can tell you. Do you know what the salaries of Andy and Barney were? Well, I found this information on my own website, so I'm pretty sure this is close. The amounts of their salaries were never mentioned on the Andy Griffith Show, but here are a few clues that might give a general idea. Barney's rent is $6 a week, and it was later lowered to $5. In episode 90 of the Andy Griffith Show, the entire amount of Barney's savings was $300. And in episode 142, Andy's house is said to be worth $24,000. In Opie's fortune, Andy looked at his bank book and declared it to be one of the sorriest he has ever seen. When Andy was thinking of leaving Mayberry in Barney Runs for Sheriff, he told Barney that if he were sheriff, he would earn a whole lot more money. Now, I'm no accountant, but maybe somebody can make a guess based on these numbers. And Paul Mulick provided these answers. P.S. Later, after Barney moves away and joins the Raleigh police force, he earns $95 a week with a Christmas bonus of $125. So that gives us some estimate of what Barney may have been making in Mayberry. It's probably less than that because he would make more, I'm assuming, in Raleigh than he would in Mayberry. But about $95 a week or less is what Barney was paid. But we know Andy earned more than that. Anyway, if you have answer to this question, call in. Let me know at 888-684-8415 and give us your backup information, because that's what I really want. I cannot in good conscience say that those other numbers are right because there was no references that would allow me to confirm the numbers. So, okay, let's run on here. We got Ted Womack. He wrote in to me and said, "Hey, Alan, I also noticed that I have said before the episode with Warren walking up to Andy's house that there was no screen on the front door." Ah, what he's talking about is on our recent episode where we're talking about the fortune and all that kind of stuff. When Goober and Goober and Warren were coming up to the house at Andy's house and woke him up early in the morning. If you look outside the door, there is no screen door on Andy's house. Some episodes there was a screen door, and other episodes there was not. Now that was a little bit of trivia that Ted had noticed, and he had written to me before about that, and he said, "How many episodes do you recall that there was a screen door and some that had no screen door. I had never really paid much attention to that. I had noticed in the past that sometimes there seemed to be a screen door that Andy would open and yell in, or Opie would go over and yell inside based on whatever Aunt B was telling him to do. But I had never really paid that much attention to that. So I want to thank Ted for writing in about that. And there's another little trivia thing for us to watch for. How often is the screen door on or not on Andy's house? So something to be watching for. So you guys watch for that. I also had an email or a message posted over at twochairsnowaiting.com from Paul Pyle. This was referenced to the episode number 235, Goober's Age. He said, about the inconsistencies in age, didn't most shows keep a journal? I know there's a proper name for it, he says, but I can't think of it, anyone. And that's a continuity director is what that person would be. Where they recorded all the important details about characters, sets, and stuff that they would refer to make sure things stayed consistent in the writing. I just wondered if the Andy Griffith Show used one. And that was from Quiet Sam and, actually Paul Pyle. Ever try to put a crop in the dark, Barney? Is from Quiet Sam. So he had a quote from. He was asking, was there a continuity director? A continuity person. There was a continuity person on the Andy Griffith Show. I don't think, though, in the 60s, early 60s, the continuity people were nearly as thorough as they are now. Reference the key not being behind Barney that we just talked about a few minutes ago. And now let's talk about the screen door not being there, much less Goober's Age that we talked about last episode, but the screen door not being on Andy's house, the badge sometimes not being on Barney's shirt like it should be. Those things, a continuity person would notice and say, whoa, we got to reshoot this. This is much more important on shows that are recorded now versus back in that time frame. They're much more critical about it because the audiences have become much more smart to the things that happen on a show, or much more they watch for it. Plus, back then, you didn't have a DVD. You didn't have a recorder of any type to record the show. There was no VHS. There was nothing like that. So the only time you saw the episode was when it was airing. There was no way to record it and watch it later. So these continuity errors didn't get noticed. Things like that didn't happen like they do now. And boy, people watch for these things now. We all do. I do. I'm always looking for these things. So while they did have a continuity person, I don't think that it was quite as robust, let's put it that way, in that time frame as it is now. So, Paul, hey, thanks for writing in. It's a good question, though. And Janet wrote in, and her comments are in reference to episode number 234, Property Master Reggie Smith. She says, congratulations to Ken Junkin for sparking this trivial gem. I've examined that scene closely, yet never noticed the bottom of the thermos jug. I also enjoyed learning about prop master Reggie Smith. However, what always catches my eye about that scene is how the packing of the trunk is filmed. I'm referring to what immediately follows Goober and Warren's departure. So she's talking about right after Goober and Warren leave. They've been there talking to Andy, trying to talk him out of, going to the lake. That's what they drove up, and they're trying to talk him out of it. And so that's where she's referencing. All right. So she says right after, let me get back to the part here. Immediately following Goober and Warren's departure is the part she's talking about. If you notice, the camera starts from one side and then swings in a sweeping arc, coming to rest at the opposite side. In other words, it starts from behind the squad car as Andy and Helen are facing Goober's truck, and then swings around to face them as they turn back towards the trunk to pack it up. It moves pretty fast, but if you have a DVD and watch in slow motion, you get a unique view of the end of Mayberry's residential street. What you see is where Mayberry stops and what seems to be an open field not far beyond the Taylor home. Also visible are some large power lines way back in the background, and a look that looked very un-Mayberry-like. As far as I know, you know, as far as I know, there's no other scene or shots that actually have these shots in them. But you can actually see back over their head right there is what she's saying. So go and watch the episode. If you watch on the video, I'm kind of freeze framing so you can actually see some of this stuff. But you can actually see in the background back there, it's very un-Mayberry, like she says. And as far as she knows, we never see that shot in any other episode. Now, what I didn't mention during this show last week is if you're watching this episode, if you, and she's not finished, I'll go back to what Janet was saying. But if you watch this episode, when Goober and Gomer are driving up in the service station truck, the house right next to where Andy and Helen are packing from, if you look, they're driving right past it. That's Andy's house right there, that they drive right by Andy's house and then park as they come in front of Helen's. So that's the that was one of the interesting things to me. They're there at Helen's where they're packing up, and they're right in front of the house. So, and what Janet's talking about is later on in that same scene, after Goober and Gomer leave, you can see a big field in the background from Helen and Andy. As the camera kind of swings around, you can see back there, and there's all kinds of stuff. Now, she goes on to say, it is interesting to note that although they are apparently supposed to be at Helen's house, that's what we were just talking about, that particular house is only two doors down from the Taylor house. The Taylor house is very clearly seen in the background when both Goober and Warren are driving up and when they're pulling away, as well as when Andy and Helen are standing in front of the truck watching them leave. I guess those types of details they didn't assume people would notice when the show was first aired. This goes back to that continuity person we were just talking about. But it's fascinating to me. Anyway, to see those now is what she goes on to say. So thanks for the interesting episode, Alan. And Janet, thank you for writing in. That's awesome. So she noticed Andy and Helen's house. She also noticed that big field there at the end of the street. I'd never noticed that either. So that may be the only time we ever saw that. So that's what you want to be watching for, folks. When you go and you're watching these episodes, I like to look for these things because you get to really see little tidbits of Mayberry that you've never noticed before. So I'm always looking for this kind of stuff. May not interest you, but at least it interested Janet and and Ted and Paul and a few guys like that that are writing in and calling in. So I want to thank all of you who are giving me some feedback on these, and I would love to hear from you guys. If you see things like this, let me know. If you can tell me what episode it's on and about how far it is into the episode, just like Gary did at the beginning of the show. He told me it was about 8 minutes and 32 seconds or something like that, I believe, into the show, and I was able to go straight to it, find the photographs or the shots, the screenshots he's talking about when Andy's hanging the key on the door, the cell right between the cell doors, and then when the next shot, when Barney doesn't, it's not there anymore, but you can see Barney clear as day. So I appreciate that, Gary. And if you'll call in at 888-684-8415 and leave your observations like that, let me know where they are. And maybe we can pull them out in the podcast and I can take some screen grabs and post them over at the facebook.com/twochairs website so everybody can see it. So if you're listening just to the audio podcast, which is really what I recommend, nothing real special about the video version of our show other than you get to see me talking and I show some of the pictures live on the video stream. And either way, you can listen to it online. You can go to our website at twochairsnowaiting.com and listen right there on the website. Or you can also watch the video right there as well. If you just scroll down on any particular episode since about, I don't know, a year and a half, 2 years ago when I started doing the video. I can't even remember how long it is. And what's fun about the video episodes for me is I get to see how much more gray my hair gets every week. So you can join me in seeing how far back you can go that my hair was not as gray. It was gray, but it's not as gray. So, folks, hey, I want to thank you again for spending a little bit of time with me in Mayberry. Hopefully some of this stuff was interesting to you and you find it, you know, something that you'd like to hear again. And if you would, I'd love to have you back. As I've said, you can give me a call at 888-684-8415. You can send me an email at floyd@imayberry.com. You can drop by our website at twochairsnowaiting.com and leave messages right there on our website. I'll see them there. Or finally, head over to facebook.com/twochairs and leave comments there. Folks, I hope you guys have a great Mayberry week and will join me next week right here on your Mayberry podcast, Two Chairs, No Waiting. You have a great week, guys. Good night, everybody.